Hi, and welcome to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're going to be doing the third part of a four-part series on Romans chapter 8. But before I go there, I want to, first of all, tell you that I am blessed by the number of people who are listening and watching my video blog and my podcast, and especially the number of people who are downloading all of the materials that I make available on my website for free. So remember, you can download videos, audios, documents that you can edit for your own purpose and for your own needs. But now that I've said that, let's continue on. The message today has to do with the peace that Jesus promised to give us. My peace I give you, he said. But as I said in the last two messages, Romans chapter 8 gives us four essential principles to receive by faith. And if we learn to walk by these four principles, then we will indeed be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's because he loves me, but at the same time, I recognize that he's not finished with me. I am a work in progress. We are all works in progress. So let's first review the first two principles. The first principle is that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That's Romans chapter 8. It's worth repeating that you have to accept the truth and believe by faith that you are loved by God. You are loved by God. You are totally and completely forgiven. And the Holy Spirit, which is a seal of his acceptance, lives in you. The Holy Spirit is your helper to overcome temptation, to break old unrighteous habits. And remember, you can't do it without him. He is, after all, your helper and your comforter. When you stumble and fall into sinful behavior, the Holy Spirit will not abandon you because he's in you. What the Holy Spirit will do is he will convict you. He will convict you of what you've done and strengthen you and urge you to repent and turn away from the behavior that displeases the Lord. Again, you cannot do it alone. You need the work and the help of the Holy Spirit living in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. The second principle that we find in Romans chapter 8 is that we need to recognize that we have a new position in our relationship with the Lord. God says, we are sons and daughters. The story of the prodigal son, which is found in Luke chapter 15, demonstrates how it is impossible to lose our position as a son, even when we stray from God's plan for our lives. Once a son, always a son. Now, you may recall the prodigal son who took his share of his inheritance, left home, and he lived a wild, ungodly life. Now, it didn't take long for him to lose all of his inheritance, all of his money. And of course, when that happens, that's when you lose all of your friends. Anyway, he ended up feeding the pigs for employment. And for a Jew, having to come in contact with unclean animals was, of course, a great tragedy for him. But in any case, over time, he eventually came to his senses. And he decided to go back to his father and to his home and repent before God and his father and to beg for a position as a hired servant. On his return, the father was patiently waiting for the son's return. And he saw him afar off. And the scriptures say that the father ran to the son. He hugged him. He kissed the son on his neck. And then he had his servants bring out the robe and the ring and the sandals and put them on his son. And finally, he called for a party. Now, even though the son tried to convince the father that he was only worthy of being a servant, the father insisted, "Rejoice, for my son who is dead is now alive and returned to me." You see, a son is a son forever in the eyes of the Father. Your heavenly Father sees you as a son forever. So walk and live as a son that your Father in heaven would be proud of. Now, today's message is about the third principle that we find in Romans chapter 8. Life is a struggle, and the Lord calls us to persevere in it. Now, you know, and I know, that life is sometimes hard, and it's often unfair. However, you're never alone. Now, we prefer that the Lord would deliver us from the trouble. Oh, Lord, you know, just deliver me from this situation. But the Lord doesn't always do that. There are times He will, but He doesn't always do that. There are times when you must go through the storm. But when you're going through the storm, keep your eyes on the truth. Remember that when you're going through the storm, Jesus is with you. You are never alone, even in the darkest hours. Jesus promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus can't lie, for He is God. He is present in you and with you through the Holy Spirit. So no matter what you're going through, there is always hope in the knowledge that the Lord loves you and that nothing is impossible with Him. Now you may ask yourself, well, why do I have to suffer troubles? Well, remember what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So you know and I know that life is filled with challenges. And there are many reasons for life's difficulties. One, the most important one, is that we live in a fallen world. Now, some troubles are caused by the actions of others, but some are caused by our own decisions and our own choices. Every decision anyone makes has consequences. It's like throwing a stone onto a pond. The stone plops in, and then it causes ripples to flow out from it. The same is true of decisions that we make and the consequences that ripple from it. Good choices produce blessings, and obviously bad choices have harmful consequences. Our choice, in a sense, are like seeds being planted in our lives. They will produce fruit. And when it comes to the bad choices in our lives, we sometimes need to pray for crop failure. Now, before we look at some consequences, I want to make it clear that in Christ, your past decisions don't define you. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. The blood of Jesus wipes away every and all sin. We should never take on guilt and shame because of the past. But the past can produce consequences that we have to work through today. But always remember, you are loved, you are forgiven, and you are accepted. Now, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." This means that the Lord can take that which is meant for evil and turn it around for good. And it states that in Genesis 50, verse 20. Now let's look at some examples or areas where we have to deal with troubles. Well, first of all, we deal with the consequences of choices made by others, such as our spouses, such as parents, teachers, friends, employers. You know, none of us live in a vacuum. We are all influenced by the decisions that other people make around us. Secondly, we have to deal with the consequences of our own past behavior, such as lying and stealing, our sexual behavior. You know, abortion is an issue, drugs and alcohol. All of these unrighteous behaviors can produce consequences long after the events took place. But God is a healer. God is a restorer and a redeemer. Always remember that your past does not define you. Thirdly, struggling or living under the control of corrupt governments and cultures and societies who embrace a secular worldview versus a biblical worldview. We're called to view the world through the lens or the perspective of the Bible. And so therefore, we have to deal with the laws and the policies which are sometimes contrary to the Word of God. And if we're not careful, we can wind up accepting the world's standards as normal when in fact they are against God's best for us. Finally, we struggle with the temptations of the devil. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to obey the teachings of Jesus. That's what a Christian is. Literally, the definition of a Christian is one who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ. But the devil's objective, Satan's objective, is to get us to disbelieve his teachings. Because if we disbelieve his teachings, then we'll disobey those teachings. And when we do what the devil tempts us to do, he will immediately heap guilt and shame upon us. Now, all of this is to try and separate us from the love and the grace of God that brings healing and wholeness. See, the temptations can be summed up into three general areas. There's what's known as the lust of the eyes, the desire for material things, the things that we see. We see it and we want it. Then there's the lust of the flesh. Those are the improper sexual desires. Listen, sexual desires within the context of marriage is sanctioned by God. God created that. But when it takes place outside of marriage, then we are falling into the trap of the enemy. And finally, there's the pride of life, the pride of position, the pride of having authority or control, the pride of that comes with celebrity. And all of these are the tools that the enemy uses to tempt us to disobey our Lord. Now, when the Holy Spirit brings to our attention some of these areas in our lives, we need to repent to the Lord. We need to learn how to forgive others for their bad judgments and decisions. And we need to ask for forgiveness when we were the guilty party. We should always try to make restitution whenever it's possible. And finally, probably the most important thing is that we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. Recently, my wife made the following statement. We are redeemed in a moment, but we are renewed over time, over a lifetime, actually. See, Christianity is about being born again through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. This place takes place in an instant of time. The moment you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You are born again. But what follows afterwards is a gradual renewing of the mind to conform or to become more aligned to the teachings of Christ, to become more like Him. Because renewal of the mind is a process that takes time, we must be willing to persevere and not give up when we stumble and fall. What you need to do is pick yourself up and then continue to press into your relationship with the Lord. Like the father of the prodigal son, he's waiting for you to return to him. Hebrews 10:35 is very instructive for us. And the scripture states, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. You need to persist. You need to press in. You need to not quit. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Some of the challenges that we face are put out there by God. And these struggles are called tests. They are opportunities for our faith to be tested and to grow. Now, not that the Lord needs to know what we would do when we face trials, but so that we would know what we would do in the face of a test. Listen to what the Lord said to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all this way for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So here's a question. Did God need to know what was in their heart? Does God need to know what's in your heart? Of course not. The Lord knows all things, even the secret things of the heart. But see, the people, and we need to know what's in our own hearts. And sometimes that can only be revealed through a testing. Now, some might argue that God does not test. But then I refer you to John 6:4. And Jesus was speaking to Philip. Anyway, it says that now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that they may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You see, Jesus wanted to see what he was trusting in. And Philip was trusting in his ability to buy food instead of trusting in Jesus to make a way. It's easy to say that we will obey the Lord. Words are easy, but the truth comes out in the test. As I heard someone say, we are legends in our own minds. And that's an interesting phrase. We are legends in our own minds. It's only by testing that we can determine if we are legends or committed followers of Jesus Christ. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." As a final note on the testing of God, remember when you were in school. What happened when you failed the test? Well, when you failed the test, you had to take a retest. Listen, the Lord cares too much about you to allow you to be defeated. And he will give you opportunities to overcome those areas of the past. In Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace by which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory," here we go, "in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. My peace I give to you." Very powerful words that Jesus spoke in John 14:25. He said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid." You see, finding peace through Jesus means putting your faith in him and trusting that he will make a way for you. Because you are a jewel in God's eyes. You are loved by him, you've been forgiven, and you are accepted into his family. You are a son or a daughter, and you are entitled to be to the inheritance that Jesus has purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. And so God bless you, and God bless your family, and if you're in a ministry, God bless your ministry. And so we'll see you the next time. God bless.